Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday morning. It's a rainy Friday morning here at our house. So just a little bit of a heads up warning to you before we get going this morning. We have had power flicker a couple times this morning, most recently just about 4 or 5 minutes ago. So at our house, when the power flickers, even if it flickers for just a second, the Wi-Fi goes out and it takes like a couple of minutes to come back on. So that may happen. We'll pray that it doesn't, but that may happen. And so I just want you to be aware of that. One more sort of announcement before we start, and that is next week I'm thinking about doing something different. Rather than Psalms on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, next week, Monday, our church's community Bible reading plan starts the book of Ephesians on Monday. And Ephesians is just a wonderful book. It's very foundationally important to the Christian life. It's so full of gospel truth and practical application, a great understanding of the church and of the Christian life. And I think it's worth doing something special. So I'm thinking next week, I would like to do a crash course on the book of Ephesians. And that is, we would meet every morning next week and just go straight through the 6 chapters of the book of Ephesians in 6 days, Monday through Saturday next week. So that would be the plan. If that's okay with you. You guys are the ones who've been faithfully showing up here for these morning devotional times. So put a comment on Facebook or on the YouTube video or shoot an email to me or to the church and just let me know what you think about that. If you think that's a good idea, yes. Ephesians crash course, 6 days. We're not going to keep meeting every morning after next week. Just a special crash course on the book of Ephesians in 6 days. It'll still be very devotional, not really academic, but really just digging into the message of the book of Ephesians for 6 days. Or the other plan we could do is just continue on with the Psalms and pick up with Psalm 42 and 43 on Monday morning and just do Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the Psalms. So let me know if you have a strong preference. And if I don't get a lot of feedback about strong preference, I'm going to go ahead and do the Ephesians crash course. So just let me know. That'd be great. So we are looking at Psalm 41 today. But before we do that, let's pray and ask the Lord's help in understanding His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day that You have given to us. We thank You for the rain that You send to water the earth and to refresh and bring forth life. You are the God of life. You bring life to your earth and You bring life to your people, life everlasting through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that You would help us to see Jesus this morning in Psalm 41, and that You would guide us by Your Spirit to understand this psalm to Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 41. Let's read the text, and then we'll dig in as we normally do. Psalm 41 is written to the choir master. It is a psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, You restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against You. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But You, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that You delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now, let's just do a little exercise this morning. If I were to ask you, where do we see Christ in this psalm? You might think, well, that's a little difficult. Obviously, Jesus did consider the poor. So if we go back to the beginning, we can say, well, Jesus did consider the poor. He spent much of his ministry among the poor. That's clearly where we can see Jesus. Jesus never sinned against God, though. So when in verse 4 it says, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you, that surely can't be about Jesus, because it just doesn't seem that Jesus, well, we know that Jesus never sinned against God. It doesn't just seem. We know Jesus never sinned against God. So that doesn't seem like it can be about Jesus. Maybe the closest here, if you're really familiar with the New Testament, you come to verse 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. You might recognize that and say, that sounds like a reference to Judas. I seem to remember something about that from the Gospels, and you would be right. So Psalm 41, verse 9 is quoted by Jesus on the night he was betrayed. And let's go and look at that passage, because that passage will help us to see where the rest of Psalm 41 comes in as well. It's in John 13. It is when, after supper, Jesus got up to wash the feet of his disciples. So let's read this together. John 13, verses 1 through 11. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do not wash my feet. Jesus answered him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, Not all of you are clean. I didn't get the whole thing that I wanted to get up there. So I apologize for that. If you got your Bibles and you're still in John 13, we'll read on just a little bit more. Verse 12. Now, I thought I had another slide with this in it, but I don't, so sorry. Verse 12. Now, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Verse 18, I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." So, it's John 13, verse 18, where we see this scripture quoted by Jesus on that night when he was betrayed. He says, "It's not all of you who are clean that I've spoken of. I know who's going to betray me. The scripture must be fulfilled, which was spoken about me. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." So that's John 13:18. So on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus had Psalm 41 on his mind. I'll go ahead and stick that one verse up there. Jesus had Psalm 41 in mind, which means that Psalm 41 is pointing us to Jesus, and that verse is pointing us to the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot. Now, sometimes when we read the Psalms, it's very obvious that we can see Jesus. Psalm 22, in fact, although it was written by David, it doesn't seem to be describing anything in David's life in particular. It is more clearly describing something that happened to Jesus. So in that case, David is more of a prophet, where he's foretelling what's happening to Jesus and less reflecting on the things that happened to him in his own life. And then when you get to like Psalm 16, a lot of it seems like it could be reflective of David's own heart and feelings. But the end of it, where it says, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption in the grave," well, that's not true of David. In fact, Peter at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, said that is not true of David. David died and was buried and remains buried to this day. So sometimes David writes in such a way that it's not even true about him, but it's only true about Jesus. At other times, it seems to be more immediately reflective of David's life and circumstances, like Psalm 41. And David is sick with something, right? He is ill, he's not doing well, and he hears this whispering, and he sees these people, and he knows the hearts of many of those who are around him, and he knows that they want him to die. You ever been in a bad situation, and you're not sure how you're going to get out of it, whether it's a work situation, or a personal situation, or a health situation? You're in some bad distress. What's the worst thing that could happen is to have knowledge that there are some people in your life who are kind of hoping that you're not going to make it, who are kind of hoping that this might be your out, either get you out of the company or get you out of the church or get you out of the school or get you out of life. Hopefully nobody's really wishing that on you. So it is a psalm of betrayal, and it is a psalm of the betrayal of a just man, of a man who is one who considers the poor and one who has integrity. So we do actually see Jesus here, although it seems to be more immediately prompted by actual things in David's life. It is still reflective of Jesus, because David was not only a prophet who sometimes foresaw Christ clearly, but he was also a type of Christ. And that means he represented Christ. He was a Christ-type figure in the Old Testament. And we could talk about all the various aspects of David's life where he was a type of Christ, but we don't really have time for that this morning. But what I want to see in Psalm 41 is that Jesus did indeed consider the poor. So we get to this first verse, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor." There is no one who has ever lived on the face of the earth who was more considerate of the poor than Jesus. He showed that in his life of teaching and healing, where he went out to the poor. He went from village to village teaching them the truth so that they would not be confused and lost because they had been misled by the Pharisees, feeding the 5,000 on one occasion, feeding the 4,000 on another occasion, healing them of various diseases, setting them free from the oppression of the devil. But also, Jesus considered us as the poor, oppressed by our sin and by Satan, and he came to deliver us So that should tell us two things. This, when we know that this is about Jesus, he's the one who considers the poor, it should do two things for us. One, it should encourage us that Jesus considered us in our spiritual poverty and oppression and brought deliverance to us. And second, it ought to motivate us to also be considerate of the poor. In Galatians chapter 2, Peter and Paul talk to each other, and Peter says to Paul, okay, you go to the Gentiles, just remember the poor. Consider the poor. And Paul says, this was the very thing that I was eager to do. So we are called as a church to consider the poor. And the day of trouble that the Lord delivered Jesus from was from the cross. And so this becomes, if we understand it, a song of the cross. David's sickbed troubles, right, become Jesus's troubles on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. And he was being cursed by the wrath of God as the one who was sin. So while Jesus never personally sinned against God, of course, he was the sinless one. But he certainly was surrounded by people who wished his harm. All around the cross, he was surrounded by people who were mocking him and jeering him and saying, oh, you know, can't you bring yourself down? And there were people who were like, you know, the chief priests and the Pharisees and scribes were in the background sort of maliciously saying, oh yeah, we finally got rid of this guy. You know, that was the plot. So, of course, it didn't work because God answered him. God answered him. Even though his close friend, even though Judas, who was the treasurer of the 12, he wasn't just one of the 12, he was appointed to be treasurer of the 12, who ate the bread. Think about this. Judas shared the Last Supper with Jesus. Judas had his feet washed by Jesus, and he still betrayed Jesus. But God the Father was gracious to Jesus and raised him up. See that in verse 10? You, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up. God the Father literally raised Jesus up from the dead. I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. Satan thought he won the battle when he got Jesus onto the cross. He's the one who put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. But I believe that even on that cross, when Jesus cried out, it is finished, Satan knew that those words were directed at him. It is finished. Your reign is over. The sins are paid for. God's people are free. You have upheld me because of my integrity. That's something that Jesus could say so much more than David, right? Verse 12 here. You have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. That's what happened to Jesus. He was raised from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father forever. And so as we see, again, even Psalms that on the surface don't seem to be all about Jesus, if we get below the surface and we start thinking about them and we see how the New Testament quotes them, they very much are about our Lord. And they're about us, too, because if we are in Christ, we can know that our enemy will not triumph over us. And because of Jesus, we can know that we will be raised up and we will be in the presence of God forever. See, we can pray this as well. God the Father delights in us because of Jesus. Our enemy will not shout in triumph over us because of Jesus. We have an integrity in Jesus that upholds us. He is our righteousness, and we will be set in the presence of God forever because of Jesus. And so through Jesus, we can say, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Let's pray, God. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He was betrayed by a close friend, and he suffered agony on the cross as he was made sin for us. And he cried out from that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was sin, and he was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. So, Father, we thank You for Jesus. And we thank You for showing us more of Jesus through Psalm 41. He is the one who considers the poor, even us who are poor and needy sinners, and who calls us to consider the poor as those who walk in His footsteps. Father, we know that this COVID-19 has affected the poor in a very dramatic way, on Native American reservations, in the inner cities, in nursing homes where many folks who are struggling live. Father, we know that COVID-19 has in a way had a very disproportionate effect on the poor. And so we pray for mercy and we pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for Your church through this time, Father, that we would be more and more faithful to You and less distracted by the things of the world. Father, thank You for Your love for us and for this time that we can spend together. Be with us today. Help us to walk in Your footsteps. Help us to follow after You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have a wonderfully blessed day. I don't know if you're able to go outside today. I don't know what the weather forecast is. I don't pay attention to those things anymore. But a lot of rain right now, so my garden's loving it. Our newly planted plants in the back are loving it. So anyway, I hope you have a great day, and may God bless you today. Thank you.